have the cranes back. The Ken should be up here. But we're going to make him suffer this morning. So, all right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and all he has done on Calvary's cross. We ask that you would be with us as we look into this lesson once again. Father, we realize as Christians we're not exempt from going through heartache. But God, we realize that as Christians, we have you there to comfort and lead and direct in our lives. And Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I just kind of embarrassed that I didn't know my wife done that down there, but oh well. Won't be the first time, probably. It's been a long week here. I got back in Friday morning, early from Alabama. I had to go to Mobile, Alabama. Then they said, we got to have you go up to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, pick up a couple of jet engines to come back. That's got to be in New York tomorrow morning. I wasn't going to New York. Let's get that straight right now. I was going to bring it back to Grand Rapids because I don't go to New York, period. So is there anything wrong with New York? Absolutely not. I'm just not going. I left there in 1986. I didn't leave anything, and I told them I'm not going back. So I don't go to New York. So anyways, they sent me up Friday, which I reluctantly went. And so I got up there, and no problems. I had good travel. I made it up there quickly. Got the two jet engines at the airport, got them on the truck, come back to customs. And there I sat. I got into customs probably about 7:30. At 12:30, I was sitting in the truck. They come out and says, you got to go back to Canada. I said, I don't want to go back to Canada. I just come from there. Your paperwork's messed up. The broker didn't get it right or something there. So at 12:30 Saturday morning, they sent me back to Canada. And so I sat over in Canada until 10:30 yesterday morning when they called them and says, go back to the airport, drop the engines off, and go home. So I spent Friday night and Saturday doing nothing, just joyriding. So, so you got to pray for me. When you get out of the country, if you've been out of the country, you know, when you deal with telephones, it's difficult. I try to call my wife and tell her what was happening and stuff there. My cell phone didn't work when I hit the bridge, so I should have just dropped it off in the water on the way across. And so I get the telephone. Well, you can use credit cards. Well, I didn't want to use my credit card in the telephone, so I thought, well, I'll just pay for it. Well, $3.50 a minute to use a telephone. I said, this ain't going to work. And all I wanted to do was call. That first call, all I wanted to do was call a guy that's supposed to meet me at the airport so I can pick up the engines and leave. And so Saturday morning, trying to deal with dispatch and trying to find out what they're doing with it and all that kind of stuff. Every time I'd use my card, the Lord did allow me to use one card to get a hold of my wife. Tell her where I was at, because I didn't have no, I couldn't call, and I didn't carry $3.50 worth of change in my pocket, for every minute I wanted to talk. And so I did get a hold of her. After that, every time I'd use either one of my credit cards, it wouldn't go through. So here I am. I can't call dispatch. I can't, and I'm just, but finally they got things going there, and I made it back. So my blood pressure probably went up a little bit, and so had to ask God to forgive me about that. But made it home last night, I don't know, 7:30, something like that. So, and safe. So praise the Lord for that. But pray for me when I get on the road. Sometimes it gets a little difficult there. But anyways, kind of review a little bit of last week. Job chapter 36, verse 32, it says, with clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. We looked at that. Most of us go through struggles in our life at one time or another, and it's difficult. But as we saw in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he will make a way of escape for us. But others in Scripture, Let's just look at one this morning there. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 here, and I want you to kind of, this is going to flow into something a little different this morning there, but I want to kind of go over this just a little bit. We need to keep on keeping on, no matter what takes place in our life, because there's a purpose, there's a reason for us to do that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Now here's Paul talking here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul's talking, he's talking about himself. And I want you to think every time we bring up something here that it was probably a cloud in Paul's life. He says, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths. Oh, each time we see this, we see that there had to be a cloud that comes into Paul's life. And I'm sure that some of these here, Paul kind of thought at one time or another, just like you and I, why don't I just quit? Why don't I just quit serving God and go the way of the world, because it doesn't look like the world goes through what we go through. But let's see. Verse number 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and naked, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So Paul had these clouds that had come into his life. We are not exempt from that. Chapter 12 here, verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, Paul went through this too. He had struggles. He had difficult times. But Paul says, I would rather have God. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in thee. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, last week I brought up in my life, there's a cloud came in my life as a young person. But instead of letting God remove that cloud where I could see the light clearly once again, I held on to that cloud for almost 15 years, and it nearly destroyed me. Go back, and as I think of my life, there are numbers of times I should have been killed, but God in His grace prevented that. But Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 3, he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul saw these things in his life as tools, stepping stones, if you would, for that prize of the high calling there. So Paul went through struggles. We go through struggles. But folks, let me encourage you this morning, don't quit. Just like Paul, and he went through much more than you and I have ever or probably ever will go through. But Paul says, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on, he says, for I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to keep on serving God. I can remember I was out in the truck, and I got home in the weekend there, and as I pulled into the yard there, my wife says there's been an accident over on, I think it's Stacy, over here in the woods. Brother Bob was over there cutting. My wife says there's been an accident. She just heard, I don't know where she heard it, but she told me, and I said, I'm going over there. So I jumped in the pickup and went over there where the accident was. Here I found Brother Bob Snyder. He'd been in the woods, three of his children there. The fourth one was laying in an ambulance, dead. And I thought, what a horrible, hard thing to go through. I mean, he was working together with his children in a freak accident. I mean, freak to us. God knew what was going to take place, and God allowed what was going to take place. But here, a cloud come into Bob's life, into his family's life. And unless you've been there, you can't hardly understand what he's going through. But he did not allow that cloud to blur his vision of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many here this morning could go through that and then a couple of days later stand in a pulpit with your 12-year-old boy here in a casket and preach a sermon? See, he knew God would give him the victory over this. Was it easy? Absolutely not. But he saw beyond that cloud that the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, was still there. And he preached that. And folks, there was souls saved in that funeral that day. But God used that. And we need to take and use examples like that to encourage us to keep on. I know some of you are going through very difficult times in your life, but we've got to keep on serving God. Don't quit. And there's plenty of reasons, and we can show plenty of verses in the Bible. God knows, like we looked at last week, God knows tomorrow. God is all powerful. God will give us the strength. Matthew chapter 28 there, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He has given us the power to overcome and to have the victory. We need that light. We need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. I think it was last year, I had my pickup in the parades with the floats, and I spent Friday and Saturday morning cleaning it up and polishing it and doing all that kind of stuff. I did everything. I washed it and waxed it, and I cleaned the windshield, and I put that Rain-X on the windshield, you know, that kind of where the water is supposed to blow off, and I cleaned the inside. I washed the windows inside. I mean, it was just immaculate to get in the parade. Well, I left the house that morning to come and pick the float up, and the sun was out, and I started driving into the sun. That was the awfulest, dirtiest windshield I had ever seen in my life. And I'd spent time cleaning it and cleaning it. But folks, you see, that's what the sun does. Jesus Christ in our lives. You know, to ourselves, it looked nice and clean and pretty. But when we get in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, we see our life is not as clean as God wants it, so we need to work there. The light is important. In John chapter 1, we saw in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse number 1, let me get there here. John chapter 1. I got my Bible I do my daily Bible reading with. Does anybody recognize what it is? It's big print, so I can see it. So, and this isn't the one I've used for the last 30 years. I've had the Cambridge for the last 30 years, and you get familiar with it, if you know what I mean. and you know where verses are and stuff like that, and you can turn, you can find the verses. But this one here, I'm not as familiar with it there. So, verse number one, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God there. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Word. Verse number 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Jesus Christ is the light. He was not that light, talking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So, verse 9 here, Jesus Christ, the light of every man. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We saw that last week. And that is where these things come into our lives in a cloud. They seem to hinder that light. But what our response to that cloud depends if that light is continually blocked, if you would, there. And so Jesus Christ is the light. So let's turn to Psalm 119 with this in mind, Jesus Christ being the light. He's the Word, and the Word is light. And so Psalm 119 and verse 105, we need the light in our life. Why? Well, the light reveals dirt. You remember the illustration on the windshield? When I looked at it, when I got done cleaning that windshield, it looked clean. But when I headed that vehicle into the light, I could see that it was not clean. It was streaked, smeared. And so we need the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our life for different reasons. Verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to direct us. We know that we get that direction through the Word, through the Bible. And that's what it says here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I've told you before, when we were children, we used to play out at night lots. It was out in the country. Not many lights. Some of you know that when you were younger, there was not that many lights. Maybe one little yard light that's about the size of a jar with two or three lightning bugs in it, you know. And so we'd get out there and play, and different things happened. One night, in the dark, I run into my brother. Black both of my eyes. I mean, just, I run into his head. His head was harder than my eyes, I guess, there. But didn't have any light. We couldn't see. So one night we were playing hide and seek here, and my dad, on the back side of the house, planted this old telephone pole, old splintered telephone pole out there beside the house, and he put a light on it. Well, either we didn't turn the light on or it was out. So we were playing hide and seek. I come tearing around that side of that house, and I was running down the side of the house to, I guess, hide. And there was that telephone pole. I didn't have any light to direct me. We need the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us through those difficult times in our lives. I see people, and I've been around for a lot of years, and I've seen so many Christians, when difficult times come in their lives, they give up on God. They quit going to church. They quit fellowshipping with other Christians that were encouragement. Folks, that's the last thing we ought to do, is quit on God and quit our church and quit the fellowship of other Christians, because that helps us in the lighting our paths, if you would, of life. We need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word in this difficult day and age. Without a light in a dark world, there is destruction. There is destruction. Our life will be destroyed. Without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to direct our path, well, there's destruction for our lives. There will be destroyed. So if Jesus is the light that is in us, then we should be a light in the world. Okay? We're talking about the light. As human beings, things come into our lives. Jesus Christ is the light. Those things dim the light. But what do we do with the cloud? Do we allow God to remove the cloud and then trust the light, the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we do like I did as a young person, hold on to that cloud and live in the shadows, if you would, and let it nearly destroy me? Jesus is the light that is in us. Then we should be a light in a dark, dark world. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. If we're saved, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we're saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we can have the victory. But the light, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So we are the light. Jesus Christ is the light of mankind. He is the way to heaven. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that light is in us. That light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We have the light in us. We need to let the world see that light. I mean, at work, at where we're at play, if you would, wherever we're at, they should say, he is different, she is different, because we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. You're the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is in us. Even though we have clouds that come into our lives, even though there are situations, there are circumstances that come into our lives, we cannot stop the light of the Lord Jesus. Or let me back up and rephrase that. We should not stop the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in us. Because we don't know who is looking at us, who is watching us, who is. I can recall a number of years ago, and one problem I had growing up, and maybe this time of my life when I wouldn't allow God to have His control of my life, is maybe that's where this came in, but I had trouble with temper at one time. You say, Brother Jim, not you. Yes, we've all got that problem at one time or another if we're not careful. But something happened and I lost my temper. I thought, no one's around. No one heard me. Don't get me wrong, I didn't lose my language or anything. I didn't use God's name, but I lost my temper. And what I didn't realize was up on the hill where I couldn't see was a nephew watching me. My light was out because of my temper. Today, and I don't know whether that was part of it or not, but today he is not in church at all. You see what I'm saying about our light in the world? We say, well, my temper is not going to affect anybody. We don't know. You don't know. We need to be very careful. Even though we have clowns that come into our lives, we need to be careful how we control ourselves, how we handle ourselves as Christians. When a Christian has a clown come into his life and he quits, that's like taking your automobile and it's got an oil pan leak or it's got a small hole in the oil pan. And that oil just drips out little by little, little by little. You don't recognize it. There's not a puddle underneath the garage on the floor or anything. But a little bit, drop by drop, that oil runs out. And you never replenish it. What happens to that motor after a while? It's destroyed, isn't it? It is no use anymore. What happens to our churches when Christians go through struggles and they quit on God? You see what happens in this world? That's what's happening to America today, is Christians have quit on God. Our churches have fallen to the side. And the light is getting dimmer and dimmer in America. The light is almost gone in America. Yes, there's churches around, but they're playing churches. They're not up preaching God's word the way they should. So the light is almost gone. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 71. Psalm chapter 71. I was reading this in my devotions the other day, and it just, bam. Psalm chapter 71. Verse number 18, it says, "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." We're not to quit as Christians. If things come into our life, you know the best place to be is just as close to God. There's probably no one here that had the whippings that I've had when I was a boy. I probably deserved every one except for one. One I didn't deserve, but I took it anyways. But you know the best place to be when you're getting a whipping? Just as close to that one that's whipping you as you can get. Why do you say that? Well, you can't get a big swing. If he's right in here, you can't get a good swing. But if you're out here, let me tell you, you're going to get the full brunt of the whipping. And it's the same with God. As Christians, if clouds come into our lives, we need to be just as close to God as we can. We need to be close to him. And then we won't stray away. We won't get off. What would happen if every Christian in America that had something come into their life, a circumstance, they would turn the light on? What would happen to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in America? It would be gone, wouldn't it? It would be totally dark. When we talk about heathen countries, but America would be that if we done that. How do we expect to win the lost as Christians when we ourselves cannot deal with the circumstances, the clouds, if you would, that come into our lives? How do we expect to win our loved ones, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, sons and daughters? How do we expect to win them to Christ if we cannot rely on God when we go through a difficult time? We can't. Just like my nephew was watching me. That is what happens when we do not deal with things that come into our heart or in our lives. That's what happens if we do not deal with those things the way Christ wants us to deal. Folks, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Is it easy? No, it is not easy. It's difficult. Was it easy for Brother Bob Snyder to stand up here and preach the funeral of his 12-year-old son? No. I was there in the woods. I tried to encourage him there to keep on. And he went on and preached that service. There were souls saved. I don't remember how many. And I don't know the effect after that. Only God knows, and only eternity will we know. But that's happened over and over and over. Bob, today, some of you have been under him. Some of you haven't. I think Brother Jeremy has been underneath some of his teaching before. Went to school there in Forest and Mrs. Gaffney. There is not probably any better Bible teacher that I know of in America than Brother Bob Snyder this morning. One of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever sat under and listened to. Why? He did not stop when a cloud came in his life. Folks, there's a big reason why we shouldn't stop. There's a neighbor. There's a loved one. There's an aunt. There's an uncle that is not saved, not born again. And we cannot quit. When my wife and I decided to serve the Lord and go on to Bible school, and we made some decisions in Bible school as far as standards, places we went, things we would do, we made decisions then that we would not do some of them things. And was it easy? No. My family almost rejected us at one time or another. And they still do, to a certain extent. But hey, we have to do what God wants us to do. We have to serve God with all our heart. My family would come from another state and visit my grandmother across the street. They wouldn't even call us and let us know they were there, and they would leave and stuff. Did it hurt? Yeah, it hurt. You know, it bothered. But it shouldn't stop us from serving the Lord. So the greatest thing I can say this morning is, if you're going through difficulties, don't quit. If you aren't going through difficulties, hang on, because you may. And I don't know what they are. I don't know what God has in store for my life. I had a difficult Friday and Saturday up in Canada. It wasn't anything big, but to try and be a blessing to the custom people, you know, when things were going backwards, when they come out and says, you can't go into America, you got to go back to Canada, I could have exploded, but I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, he's in control. But we need to serve God with all our heart. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on our church. Don't give up on Christian friends. Because it's that encouragement. It was the encouragement of Brother Bob Snyder that kept me in church. It was his encouragement, his words of encouragement that kept me in church. And if anybody would have quit church, that would have been me. If my temper would have come back, and I go through a lot of things. But folks, don't give up on God. Don't quit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that He sees tomorrow. He sees next week. He is all powerful. And He has given us access to that power. And so, God, I ask that you'll be with those that are here this morning in a very special way that's going through some difficult times. That, God, you would just give them the power to keep on serving you. Why? Well, there may be a relative. There may be a friend. There may be a neighbor that is watching. And the way we respond may determine whether they trust you or they shun you. God, help us. We need your help and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Got about 10 minutes.